Welcome to another edition of the Puro Pinche Primos.
Hola, primo, primas. We are back. We are the Puro Pinche Primos. I'm your primo, Luis Velasquez. That is your primo, Christopher Costello. And this is the Puro Pinche Primo episode of the NFL Free Agency 2024. It has been going nuts, primo. How are you taking it? What's going on?
Two words. Holy shit. I don't know what is going on. I have no idea. It feels like a group of us are on like Madden just making crazy trades. That, you know, I was talking to you about this before. I don't remember the last time so many big name free agents just left teams. There's a laundry list of people on both sides of the ball. But one of the biggest things is these guys are like captains that are leaving teams, right? This is not just like a big guy or a big name free agent class. It's like leaders of teams, faces of teams, like whole identities are shifting in this free agent all season. That I love it, except for, you know, but we'll talk about that later. It's insane to me, man. And I don't even know where to start. I don't know if we're doing this by position, if we're doing this by team, but or conference or whatever it is, but like we need to dive in because there's like so much stuff to talk about as far as like names that have like changed teams and how they're gonna make those teams better.
Yeah, I think we should just start with the good old winners and losers of day three of NFL free agency. To me, primo, to me, one of the number one winner, and it just seems I don't know how this guy keeps making all this money. I just don't know. But Kirk Cousins signs with the Atlanta Falcons. He is just continues, primo, to just make all kinds of money out there. I think he signed for, let me see, I got it right here. He has signed for 4 years, $180 million. How do we not have this guy in Congress? How is this guy not a senator out there negotiating for real life stuff? Because the fact that he has gotten all these teams to pay him so much money when he is just the white version of Dak Prescott baffles me.
Kirk Cousins is truly the definition of failing up. This in coaching. But in a quarterback position is like, as long as you haven't done anything, actually, I was going to say criminal, but we have Deshaun Watson, who's still the like leading starting quarterback of a team.
Yeah, he's the leading criminal.
Even criminal things you can do. So you can even do criminal things and still stay in the league, right? And like, I don't know how he does it, but I feel like he needs to open up some sort of like he needs to be an agent himself.
He needs, we need to figure this out. The way this man just keeps getting paid, man. Like you said, he may be a top 15 quarterback each and every year, right? And for him, like, he's so mediocre, right? I think he's won one playoff game ever. And the fact that you're
the
just...
The thing is, though, that he puts up the numbers.
Whoever Kirk Cousins' agent is needs to have a movie, okay? I think, like I said, I mean, he may be, I think at his peak, like he was a number like 8 best quarterback in the league. But he's out there. Shout out to him for making his bag. On the opposite end of that, I think a loser after all of this is somehow Justin Fields. There doesn't seem to be a place for Justin Fields to be traded to. And I really don't understand. I don't understand how you give Kirk Cousins $180 million, a 36, 37-year-old quarterback, $180 million for 4 years, when you can take a chance on Justin Fields being a legit number one quarterback. And I mean, it's a boom or bust with him, absolutely. But there's still a ceiling for him. And, yeah, Justin Fields doesn't seem to – It looks like now like he's going to get traded to a team to be a backup quarterback.
So this is the thing. Is it that you think teams don't want to take that chance because then they're going to possibly have to pay him an enormous contract? Or do you really think teams just think like he's not like starting quarterback level talent?
I think it's a combination of the of both right now, right? Because he's still on his rookie contract right now, so you're going to have to pay him here soon. But you really don't know what you have, right? The Bears have been crap. That organization has been crap. They haven't really given him an offense or an offensive coordinator to do anything. So you don't know what you're getting. And it may take 2 or 3 years for him to be behind some good coaches and figure it out and become a legit number one. But you're going to have to pay him now for a maybe, if that makes sense.
So this is the thing, since we bounced over to the Bears, right? We started in the NFC South, now we're in the Central, or the North, sorry. I thought that in the original move, because they made a huge free agent pickup in picking up former Eagles running back DeAndre Swift, which I think is a huge move, right? They already have DJ Moore as their number one wideout, who has proven himself even with Fields as a starting quarterback. I thought the DeAndre Swift move was to ease up for Justin Fields so he doesn't have all the running duties, but also he has someone quick to dump off, because DeAndre Swift as like a dump off option is an amazing, amazing running back, catching the ball out of the backfield. So you think that they're done with him?
Yeah, I mean, they have the number one pick. I think obviously they're going to go with Caleb Williams as the number one pick in the NFL draft. So I was expecting them to trade to Atlanta. I thought Atlanta was going to be all in on him. I thought maybe Pittsburgh, as we move on, would have wanted him.
Yeah.
But now they have Russell Wilson.
My quick question about that before I move on to the plethora of teams that have like moves is, do they draft Caleb? Let's say they draft Caleb Williams, as you're saying. Do they start Justin Fields, though? Because we know that starting a rookie quarterback is never a successful plan for bringing along a quarterback. So do you start Justin Fields in order to have him play well, to have him have some trade value? Or are you just like, take the bench, Caleb Williams is a starter, and we're going to just figure out what to do? Because I would think that it's a dumb move for them to throw Caleb Williams to the Wolves in Chicago and not get trade value for Justin Fields, because he clearly is still an athlete, right? So, for example, there's tons of bottom teams that could still utilize a Justin Fields.
Yeah, but that's just not today's NFL anymore, right? You're no longer, like,
bitching. But
what would I do? I would go all in with Caleb. If I'm going with Caleb, Caleb is the number one prospect since maybe an Andrew Luck as far as quarterback goes. Right?
He's a better prospect than Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, yeah. He's a better prospect than him.
Really?
Because he's got wheels, too. He's got the accuracy and the arm strength, but he also, you know, in today's age, he can run. And so, yeah, I think, like, I don't know, man. Like, it's tough right now on quarterbacks. But, like, you have a C.J. Stroud who last year, like, you know, was that dude, right? And definitely coming out of college, Caleb Williams is better than C.J. Stroud, right?
Okay.
But, like, the organization is a big deal, and which is why I'm saying it's tough being a quarterback. I think eventually, and this is kind of going off path, I think eventually, as we move into this player empowerment going on in sports right now, that you're going to see... What's that?
Not in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, but I think if they were smart, you're going to see more quarterbacks be like Eli Manning was. And like, no, I'm not going to the Chargers. If you draft me, I'm not going to go there. Because to just think about all these quarterbacks that have been coming out, get put in a bad situation, and then they're automatically thought of as a wash, right? They're not given the chance to develop, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is what I'm saying about Caleb Williams, and I want to move on from him that's going to be part of your week-long episode
of the draft. Ready for the draft.
But I don't think that there's a guy ready to come into the NFL at QB that I've seen. And then for all of the, and maybe I'm wrong, but all of the highlights that I've seen of Caleb Williams, he doesn't strike me as someone who comes in and completely transforms the team at the start. Obviously, I didn't expect that from CJ Stroud, but you also have to have the infrastructure set up for you. And maybe the skill players around him set him up for that. But what we also know is that what the Bears have really, truly struggled in, even when they've had talent, is coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, if you look at a Mac Jones, right, who just got traded to be a backup at Jacksonville, was he ever given a fair shot? Right? Like
he was a Pro Bowler in his rookie year.
Yeah, bro. But to develop, right? He
you mean with skills? Like skill players?
Well, skill players, right? Because you have Bill Belichick, who never thinks that you need any skill player. Like, his coaching is going to be good enough for everything. 2 years of Mac Jones's NFL career, he had defensive coaches as his offensive coordinator. Right?
Agreed, yeah.
Like, he was never set up. He was never set up for that. And that's kind of what I feel like is happening to Justin Fields here. Is like, the talent is there. Right? And the problem is, coaches want players to fit their system as opposed to adjusting your system for the player that you have, right? Yeah. They don't want to me, that's just not coaching. Like, this is, and we talked about this last week, right? This is the way that I am, and that's just it. I'm not going to change my system around for Justin Fields. And so, yeah, I'm just as far as the loser, like, he's going to go and be somebody's backup. I don't see him in Chicago. I wouldn't be in Chicago if I was him. Like, I would sit out. I would not.
Who, Caleb Williams?
No, if I was Justin Fields. I would not be a Chicago Bear next year if I was Justin Fields. I would, though, ever. I just saw a little thing today, and I sent you a picture of it earlier. Justin Fields coming into battle Will Levis for quarterback for the Tennessee Titans is a possibility, apparently. So, I'm all for that, buddy. I'm all for that. But moving on to this kind of winners and losers in the free agency so far, running backs, bro. Running backs to me have leveled up, right? As far as just so many, first off, so many top tier fantasy running backs.
Yep.
That have switched teams. You talked about DeAndre Swift. We've got Eckler, who went to Washington. We've got our boy Derrick Henry, who is now a Baltimore Raven. Tony Pollard, who we talked about last week as a possibility of becoming a Tennessee Titan, is a Tennessee Titan now. If he's happy about it or not, I don't know. I have a little insider information about Tony Pollard's happiness to be a Tennessee Titan. But that's for another episode. But yeah, I think running backs in general have leveled up. As far as just contracts, right? They're averaging, everybody that's signed these past 2 days, averaging about $8 million a year in their contracts. So, yeah, what do you think about that?
The one that you didn't mention, which I think is the biggest move, just out of like in-division rivalry, like messed up, is Saquon Barkley, who is going to, I believe, going to tear it up over there in Philly. But to go from the Giants to Philly, I think the only thing worse is if he would have become a Cowboy. But that move is enormous for the Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts' like survival.
Yeah,
back there.
Yeah, that's good. That can either go really well or it's going to be like bad.
The beginning of the end. Yeah.
Yeah, that's either like you have no excuse, Saquon. Like, here you go. You wanted a quarterback. Here you got a quarterback. You want an offensive line? Like, this is one of the best top three offensive lines in the NFL. Like, you have no excuses.
I don't see Saquon Barkley being the type of guy where it doesn't go well. Like, if it doesn't work, it's not because of him.
Right? Yeah,
it's like something else. And quite honestly, it's probably going to end up being something between players and Nick Sirianni. Because his personality, I don't know, is built to last on a team. But enormous move. The fact that he's there changes the NFC's. The Eckler pickup is huge. Antonio Gibson leaves Washington. They have Brian Robinson Jr. now with Eckler. that tandem is kind of scary. And yet they lost their offensive coordinator, who is the brainchild of what we now see as the Kansas City Chiefs offense,
yeah.
In Eric Bieniemy. But we'll see how, right? Because they have a defensive head coach now in right. Washington. We'll see how that works out for is that your boy? Your boyfriend is the offensive coordinator out there?
Cliff, yes, sir. He's the OC right. of Washington. Kingsbury. Yeah, Kingsbury.
Which, hey, man, with somebody like Eckler.
Yep. Yep.
I'll tell you what, I don't know if that was on the list of people, but why aren't they getting Justin Fields?
Yeah, for real. I don't understand it either.
He looks like the what essentially Kingsbury wanted in Arizona out of.
Oh, I'll tell you why. Because they signed Marcus Mariota.
Again, why aren't they going for Justin Fields? Because he looks like what he wanted Kyler Murray to be, right? And so you think about a Justin Fields with that backfield, and they still have like a very strong wide receiver in Washington, a number one wide receiver in Terry McLaurin. So don't forget that.
Yeah, another one that kind of hurts really bad for me right now, and it's just, to me, another winner so far in the NFL free agency market right now, the Houston Texans.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even want to talk.
Yeah, they traded for Joe Mixon. Biggest winner. What's that?
At this point in free agency, they're the biggest winner.
Yeah, for real. I believe so, too. They've traded for Joe Mixon. They
incredible pickup.
Incredible right pickup. Absolutely. They re-signed Dalton Schultz. They took DeNico Autry and Azeez Al-Shaair from the Titans. Maybe their biggest one was signing Edge Daniel Hunter, who was on a lot of people's list, the number one free agent this year. He's a total beast. And combine him with the rookie they got from last year. Like this, they win a shout out to the Texans. Like, we hate the Texans, absolutely. But once you figure out that you have a quarterback, a rookie quarterback, yep. that dude, you have to go all in.
Yeah, but and also guys are coming though. Right? We're seeing guys like voluntarily going out.
Yeah, they want to go there.
And that again is D'Amico Ryans, right? Like, people want to play for that guy. You just mentioned Hunter, a defensive captain for his team in Minnesota, and leaves to go. People want to play for this guy, and they're super talented on defense already. They have probably the most up-and-coming receiving core that I've seen in the league so far, who are only going to get better. And granted, one of them's coming off an injury, but they, you know, they're loaded. And I'm actually really worried. And I'm already going to say that they're going to win the AFC South. And I don't think it's going to be close.
Yeah. I mean, depending on, again, depending on our Titans, man, I don't know. Like, they're going to have to do something drastic here.
Will Levis has to have a drastic jump for them.
He's got to have a big shot.
We don't know that. But CJ Stroud has got to be himself, and they're already in position to win that division.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then you have to think of, oh boy, Richardson coming back for the Colts. Right. He's going to be somebody to contend with. Losers, to me, right now, hold on, let me refresh my page here to see if anything has happened yet. And no, it still seems that the Dallas Cowboys' only free agent signing so far is long snapper Trent Sieg. Okay, that is the only thing that the Cowboys have done. For them to fumble the bag on so many, like, I don't understand. I guess I have to relook at their numbers as far as salary cap wise. But for them to lose Pollard to the Titans. Pollard, who wanted to come back, obviously. He wanted to come back. He wanted to be a Dallas Cowboy. For them to just let him go You have Derrick Henry literally in your backyard. Literally. Moved to Dallas like 2 years ago. Just bought another house in Dallas a couple days ago. I saw the real estate guy was promoting selling a Derrick Henry house there. And for them to not sign Derrick Henry, it's crazy. Especially since, like I talked earlier, like we're averaging about $8 million a year for these running backs. Now he signed for less for Baltimore, a 2-year deal. Was it $16 million? Maybe $15-20 million guaranteed. With incentives, I mean, $20 million total. If with incentives, how you guys fumbled back and you haven't done anything? Jerry Jones has said, "Oh, we're all in this year. We're all in." What have the Dallas Cowboys done since losing to the Green Bay Packers that tells you that they're all in and they are, you know, they're going for a Super Bowl this year?
I think the Dallas Cowboys think that what they have is stronger than what it really is. And with regards to that missing piece in the backfield, I'm not really sure. That makes me believe, right, that a team believes that they have something in the works or that there's someone on the draft board that they absolutely want and are going to make sure that they're in a position to get. But it is also scary to be like, you know what you need and you're not getting it immediately, and everybody else is getting what you need immediately. I also don't understand, particularly when you're talking about like a 1 or 2 year deal, like you just mentioned with Derrick Henry, why you don't go in on a running back at like, why don't you don't go in on somebody in that position? Like if the guy's willing to sign a 2 year deal, then you get him for that because now you're not on the hook for a long-term deal, which is why what a lot of teams don't want to do. But I don't get it. I don't understand it. I also wanted to bring up another guy which I don't know necessarily which way to lean as far as how big of a pickup this is just because of leg injuries. But we also know that I'm going to get this name wrong.
Come on, you got
Aaron,
it.
Not Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Not Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Jones?
Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones. Right. There it is.
Aaron Jones also went in his own division.
Yeah.
To the and how much of a big pickup that is.
For 1 year, I think it's 1 year, $6
million. Yeah.
1 year, $7
million. And I would be concerned just because of that, but you know, I don't know. And yet, do you think that the move by the Packers is actually the right move in letting him go in order to bring in Josh Jacobs, who left Las Vegas? And Vegas is now seems to be in shambles after the Raiders moving there, right? The amount of money invested for that move, and now it's like, who do they got?
Yeah, Josh Jacobs, that's another one where you're kind of like in the Saquon realm. Like, it could be really great, and a big jump for them if they get, you know, the Josh Jacobs from, like, 2 years ago. Right. I mean, I still think, like, he was, to me, in free agency, like, he was the number one running back available. Out of all those big names that we're talking about. But he has to be the Josh Jacobs of 2 years ago. So, I mean, I think it could be all right in the right direction. I think their head coach kind of knows how to develop a running game. And so I think it'll be all right. As far as the Las Vegas Raiders go, I'm not sure what they're doing over there. Apparently, because of signing Gardner Minshew, that they are no longer in the Justin Fields sweepstakes, right? Which is crazy to me. Absolute crazy to me. How you're not going all in for Justin Fields? Las Vegas Raiders is crazy. And but
and also just a reminder that, because this flew under the radar when it happened, because it was in the offseason, but Jimmy Garoppolo is suspended for the first two games of the season.
Oh, they cut him yesterday.
Ah.
Yeah, they got rid of him and cut him yesterday. But I will say this, one of my on my list of winners is Christian Wilkins from the D tackle from Miami Dolphins, who signed with the Las Vegas Raiders for $110 million. That's great. That to me, that's really good for him and really bad for the Raiders. Just
I feel like the Raiders do things like this
that
are just they overpay on potential for guys that actually not like
and just for
built right, like they picked the wrong spots to build.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just for like the wrong position, right? Because Wilkins, he's a run stopper, absolutely. He's not really putting pressure on the quarterbacks. He's not really demanding double teams when it comes to pass rush. So to spend that much money on him, shout out to him. Like, he's a good dude. He makes me laugh all the time. You can tell, like, he's always having fun and just a silly dude. But, like, that is crazy for me. But shout out to him and his money. A couple things also, like Baker Mayfield re-signs with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've gone on. Shout out to him for reestablishing his career. Right, he came out as a number, like he's not. You can't call him a bust anymore. Right, he was number one pick.
No.
He got the short end of the stick out of Cleveland.
I never thought he was a bust when he left Cleveland.
Yeah,
they just wanted some. else.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Again, we're talking about, like, got to give these players, especially the quarterbacks, time to develop, right? You have to give them time to develop, and they didn't really give them that time there. They threw them to the wolves. They gave them all these commercials, you know, and they didn't really put anything around him, and then they went all in and went for a sexual predator. And then he goes, he kind of goes around, goes to the, with the Rams?
Yep. And did well there.
And did really well there, especially like it was a Thursday night game. Yeah. And then he went to Tampa Bay, and he just, I mean, he re-signed with them for 3 years, $115 million. They also re-signed Mike Evans.
Yeah, they paid Mike Evans his due.
Yeah.
I think the interesting thing about that with like the Mayfield thing is that he did have pieces that all got hurt around him in Cleveland. Because he had that season where he had Odell and Jarvis Landry. Both of them are banged up. What do you expect the man to do, right? And, you know, but the three-year $100 million was interesting to me. But it's like, what else are you going to pay a starting quarterback, right? And so hopefully that continues for him. And I'm not too sure, though, because I don't feel like that team is actually all that strong. And obviously Mike Evans is Mike Evans, but he's also like
getting any up other. There. Yeah, yeah. I was kind of hoping Mike Evans would go somewhere where he can compete a little bit better. And again, though, I'm thinking Mike Evans doesn't have a ring, but I forgot he got a ring with Tom Brady. Now, let's talk. Listen, another position. We'll stick at the quarterback position. But to me, a big-time winner is the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I say this because they got Russ. And not only did they, not because they got Russ, but because the amount of money they're going to pay Russ. $1.2 million. They're getting Russ for $1.2 million is crazy. And shout out to Russ, who's getting $38 million from Denver. And I think he's still getting another $25 million or $26 million from Seattle. Right?
Jesus.
We talk about Kirk Cousins, but Russ has figured out a way to get paid. Also, he'll take a measly $1.2 million from Pittsburgh, help them build up. So, yeah, I think Russ and Kirk Cousins are kind of one and one as far as getting paid, right? I mean, the way he has finessed these teams to pay him, and now they're paying him to be, I mean, they're paying him buku bucks. $36 million to not play for Denver, and about $25 to $26 million to not play for Seattle.
This deal, like this project of getting Russell Wilson, which wasn't really a project, because he's like a legitimate NFL quarterback and at one point star, has blown up in this way that, like, because of this one terrible move, they've had to rebuild now. Jerry Jeudy left and is now a Cleveland Brown, right? Which is a crazy thing in itself. They lost their center to the Tennessee Titans, which we'll continue to talk about and build on later on. And like all their pieces are like flying, right? Like they're in a complete rebuild, which is very interesting because I would think that that's not a situation if you're Sean Payton that you would want to be in. And yet, like, there you are. And what you mentioned before is now, like, honestly, to me, the Steelers have a shot now. Like, they're back into a position of at least fighting for a spot as they move on into this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Because one thing we know for sure, Mike Tomlin's going to have this team ready, right? Mike Tomlin's going to have this team good to go. They made the playoff. They made the playoff last year, right, with the Kenny Pickett. Or they went over 500. That's what they went.
They went over 500.
Yeah, they went over 500 with a Kenny Pickett who looks like doesn't quite look that like a first round pick quite yet. Now this also could turn around and be a good thing for Kenny Pickett, right? Now you have time to develop, like we talked about earlier, that they're not doing. Now you have time to develop. Now you have time to learn from a quarterback like Russ. You know, and again, it's only 1 year, $1.2 million, right? This is a great thing for Pittsburgh. Now, one thing I definitely want to discuss with you is, and I'm thinking here is kind of a loser so far is we both know, and we talked about it last week, that the Buffalo Bills kind of, is their window closed? Is it officially closed? Because they cut a lot of people last week to try to get under the cap. They've made a couple of signed. They signed AJ Espinosa. They re-signed Daquan. They got Mitch Trubisky back. They re-signed Deion Dawkins. There's nothing really, like, they really haven't done anything. They lost Gabe Davis. He's gone. Of course, when you have a quarterback like Buffalo has, like, you're kind of like almost always in it. But as far as winning Super Bowls, I think that window is shut.
Yeah, they don't seem or feel like a legitimate contender anymore. They seem like a threat, and yet I don't think teams are going to be scared of them. Right. And particularly not just because they haven't added to the skill positions on offense, but because they lost really key people on defense. And that defense is really the ways in which they were able to stay in games when Josh Allen would go rogue and have four turnovers in a game. And if you don't have that protection on the other side of the ball, I don't know that their season can't get ugly really quick. So the first half of the season is going to be big for them because they could knock themselves out of the playoffs in the first 8 to 9 games.
Yeah.
If they're not careful. And we know that in that division, they're in a good position. And yet, the Jets, I don't necessarily know that the Jets aren't particularly, if anything, the Jets, learned who their real guys are this last offseason. And if Aaron Rodgers comes back and is at least gets through the season, they might win that division.
Listen. Okay, and this goes out to all the Jets fans in our fantasy football league, in our text chains, all right? You're still the Jets. You will always be the Jets. You will still – now you have a quarterback. Is he a quarterback or is he a vice president potential nominee, right? What is –
I was going to bring that up. That shit creeped me the hell out. I couldn't believe it. I had to read it.
Yes.
And be like, wait. And the only reason I even believed it was because it was from the New York Times.
Yeah.
And at one point, I thought the New York Times was hacked or someone was creating a fake New York Times headline. But reading that made it, it didn't make me worried as far as football. It made me worried for as a United States citizen.
Yeah.
What is going
on? Listen, elections matter. And when we selected the dumbass in 2016, everybody thinks they can do it, right? It's just like, if he can do it, I can do it too. And so, kind of just pivoting back this to football, like, it is this 40-year-old quarterback with an Achilles injury who likes to listen to dolphins have sex something that you have a good team? Are you relying that on, you're leaving that all up to Aaron Rodgers and putting it, you know, when he's obviously not all in right now, if he's really thinking about becoming a vice president nominee for Kennedy over there? That's crazy. That's just a crazy sentence that.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah,
I never thought I'd say.
I don't feel good about. Although, let me say this though, in regards to sports. Well, I'll start with the presidential weird shit because I don't even want to continue talking about it. It goes a long way to show how much we have blurred celebrity and pop culture with politics in a way that obviously is completely negative and detrimental to our country. Aside from that, the Jets are building up on the defensive side of the ball. And one thing that, like, although he's not who he was and is not like someone to be like feared, he is someone who's consistent, is they signed backup Tyrod Taylor behind him. So now they actually have like a legitimate professional to manage a game in case Rodgers is banged
they
up
have,
at any point.
They have a professional backup. He's decent. He's all right. He's good. You still need a quarterback, Jets. I'm just letting you guys out there. Justin Fields is available. I'm here for Justin. I am a Justin Fields fan. I hope you get that from this podcast. I am hoping that Justin Fields comes out, goes to a team, and just makes everybody eat it, kind of like what Lamar Jackson did this year when nobody wanted to trade for Lamar Jackson last year for some reason.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
No, I just want to ask, as we start wrapping up this episode here in a little bit, before we get into best available, are there any teams that you can think of that are like sneaky, you know, made sneaky moves, not really big time moves? And those you worry about, guys, don't worry about. I know we haven't really talked Tennessee Titans, and you're expecting that from us. We will soon have a just all Tennessee Titan episode again, like we had last week, and just talk about all the moves the Tennessee Titans made. So that is coming. We try not to put that in this episode, but those of you that come into this episode and hoping for that, we do apologize, but we're going to dedicate a whole episode to the Tennessee Titans. But yeah, is there any team sneaky good that made some move that haven't gotten any big credit?
I don't know that they made any moves. I'm actually more concerned about, not concerned, but I'm curious about the LA Chargers. They let Eckler go. Released
Mike Williams, right? Yeah.
Who's also injury prone, which that's kind of understandable. But with Harbaugh leading the way now, I'm actually just really interested in what their plan is, because you know that they're not going to waste Herbert. You know, Harbaugh didn't go there to be a Charger coach. He went there because Herbert is there, and made it clearly that's the reason he's there, by like bigging him up as soon as he got there. But they're a team to me that was like on the radar last year and then disappointed. And then Herbert got hurt at the end of the year. And no one knows that better than me because he's my fantasy quarterback and ruined my life. But also there's just these like gaps that they have to fill. And I don't know why. And also Gerald Everett, their tight end, left and is now a Bear. So I'm just curious as to what the plan is in LA, because I don't think it's like a rebuild plan. And yet at the same time, they got a lot of money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. With the cut of Mike Williams, they finally got under the cap space. They were hurting for cap number. Mike Williams' cut today got them under the salary cap, so they can start making moves. They're probably going to go for your third tier, free agent market. Let these big names, big timer people go, and then we'll pick up the scraps, which is all right as long as you draft well, right? And I think, Harbaugh is good at that. He will be good at that of analyzing the draft and getting a good draft board. Two teams that I want to talk about real quick that I think is kind of sneaky. I think the Miami Dolphins are kind of sneaky. As far as making, they didn't make a lot of. They said to me, safety Jordan Poyer from the Bills. They signed him for cheap. They got him for $2 million, 1 year, $2 million, and then they also got Shaq Barrett from Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Right. I think those two are big signings for their defense. To help. You know, that offense doesn't really need a lot over there. So for them to recertify their defense. And then we kind of talked about this, but I'm still wondering what the Minnesota Vikings are doing at QB. They don't have Kirk Cousins anymore, and they signed, like, Sam Darnold cannot be your... Is he your hope for the future? Maybe, again, another guy who didn't really get a chance to develop.
His Baker Mayfield shot. Right?
Yeah.
When it were a backup, you were solid somewhere, a team vouches for you, and now you have a starting gig again. Like, here's a chance to, like, try to make something happen. The other sneaky team, or the one, I guess, that is a sneaky team that I would bring up is not because this guy is particularly great, but because he's just, like, will sling it, is the Cleveland Browns picked up Jameis Winston to back up Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
We know the injuries of Deshaun Watson, but also remember that they got Jerry Jeudy.
Yep.
On a team that already has an incredible defense, right? So they have a top 10 defense, and they added to that defense as well. Actually reloaded on their defense and made sure to keep them intact. So, Jerry Jeudy has not had his fair shot. And now to be on a team where they're going to make sure that on that roster that they're, you know, lining up against their number one is Amari Cooper.
Right.
Jerry Judy's going to have a lot of free space in between the middle. And don't forget that they should be getting Nick Chubb back.
Cooper. I didn't even think about Cooper. Cooper and Judy. Oh, that's a nasty, nasty duo. Judy.
And they have this Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, lineup. Yeah. Shout out to Jameis. Hopefully he takes over so I can actually root for the Cleveland Browns. But yeah, that'd be crazy. Also, like, where is the Kansas City Chiefs getting all this money? Okay, they give freaking Patrick Mahomes crazy money. Now they're giving Chris Jones crazy money. They tagged Legarius Sneed, who they're still trying to, like, he wants a trade, right? Yep. He also asked for a trade. Hopefully, Titans are getting on that along with T. Higgins. Also, do you remember Matt Araiza?
The punter. Crazy story.
Yeah, the crazy story. And I think we've even talked about it on this show. Where we brought up, like,
I think we owe him an apology.
Yeah,
right?
I think so too. I think we do owe him an apology. Yeah, so
we got to actually, on our next show, give like a full fledged apology to that guy.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and listen to that show to say exactly what we said, but I think you're right. I think we do owe him an apology.
Yep.
And
I think on that alone just speaks volumes of what, like, never knowing the full story.
Yeah.
But also, that would probably make us the pendejos of the week.
Yeah, we can do it. We didn't. So now let's wrap this up with talking about the best available. There's still some big name free agents. When we talk about this, like, big name after big name being signed, there are still a lot of big names. To me, the number one big name out there is Chase Young, who still needs to be signed, one of the top edge rushers in the league. You have Xavier Howard, cornerback, who won, I think he won, like, was it 2 years ago? He was the number one cornerback in the league. You've got a Devin White, we talked about, from Tampa Bay. Calvin Ridley, wide receiver.
Calvin Ridley, that's the guy I'm watching.
Yeah, he's out there. He needs some Justin Simmons, who was kind of got cut to safety out of the Denver Broncos. And then you got Eric Armstead is available, which is crazy to me, from the 49ers, right? I know he got hurt at the end of the season there, but, like, he is a monster. And when he gets back healthy, like, that's going to be a big pickup for somebody. And then, like, a DJ Reader also. There are still big names out there. Any name out there that you're kind of just surprised that isn't signed yet?
I think, to me, the Ridley situation is interesting. And I would think that my worry is that he's trying to come up with a deal that is team-friendly but also works for him with going back to Jacksonville. I think he knows Trevor Lawrence is that dude. But Calvin Ridley, to me, is still like I think he's going to have a – I'm still waiting for him to have, like, a bust-out year. Like, he underwhelmed last year, and I think he is, a major, major free agent that can shift the team really quickly. The way that we were just talking about Jerry Jeudy being in, like, let's say, the slot in Cleveland, like, I think if a Calvin Ridley goes to a team that, like, for example, you were just talking about Buffalo. If Calvin Ridley goes to Buffalo, the window is open.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And we, like, you know, I think in general, just looking at those types of things are huge for, like, whether a team, if Calvin Ridley goes to the Cowboys, very different story for them.
Yeah.
Right? Because now CeeDee Lamb, who just had a career year, now is going to have even more room, or Calvin Ridley is going to go nuts. But there's just places where I think that he fits that would go a long way, and I'm worried that the rich will get richer. I'm worried that he goes to, like, a Kansas City, or he goes to
Houston. I like that. Oh, God, stop it.
No more. It's loading up, right?
They don't need anymore.
That he goes to a team that always needs receivers in Baltimore.
Ugh.
And my big thing that I was going to ask you about Baltimore is this. Is Baltimore, because they lost Queen, we haven't even talked about defense, which is your specialty. Are we going to see a Baltimore team that's weak on the defensive side of the ball because of all their, like, losses on that side, and now be, like, a dominant, like, offensive team because of who they picked up that I'm not going to talk about? But now Lamar Jackson is going to have, like, someone to, like, not have to, right? Mm-hmm. And now if you run those options with those two, how dangerous is Lamar Jackson in the
open? Exactly. And don't forget, the rookie, Zay Flowers, is going to have another year under him. He's got a lot to prove after fumbling at the one-yard line, right? He's going to have – I think so. I think they've moved on. Shout-out to Patrick Queen, who I heard a story this morning saying that Tomlin was always, like – it was always personal for him to play against the Steelers because – every game, Tomlin, but like, what are you doing over there? You're not a Raven. You're supposed to be a Steeler. You're a Steeler linebacker. You should have always been a Steeler. And for him to go to Pittsburgh, you know, shout out to Mike Tomlin again. Like, that dude is just a mastermind of coaches. To me, I think Chase Young is interesting. I can see why he hasn't signed yet. Like, he's a little inconsistent. But when he is on, like, he is unstoppable, right?
Yeah.
When he is on, now you got to keep him, like, his motor got to keep going. Xavier Howard, like, he's, again, like, 2 years removed from being the number one cornerback in the league with the Dolphins. So, there's still a lot. There's still a lot. And I think now, like, we're looking at, like, the players that are just like, hold on, let me think about where I'm going to go now. As opposed to, like, let me go for money right away. Who's going to give me the most money? They're going for, like, let me take my visits. Like I said, Chase Young has got 3 visits. He's got the Panthers today. I think he's got, who is the other team? I know he's got the Titans on tomorrow. No, he's got the Titans on Friday. And there's another team sandwiched in there between the Panthers and the Titans. He's just going to take his time, see which one fits better. I think that's what we're going to see now. It's going to slow down a little bit, free agent signing, as these players, you know, just relax a little bit and see who really wants them and what's better for their situation. But all right, guys, this is our episode of Free Agency Frenzy from the Puro Pinche Primos. I'm Luis Velasquez. That's Christopher Costello, and we are out.